Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Go, Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
We have Austin Rivers and McLemore coming off the bench. Eric Gordon is up, and he is not yet walking, but he is standing.
Yes!
On his feet. Why don't you tell everybody
pizza
what you're
doing? Pizza time!
You're the only guy who got a pizza delivered during a pandemic to a supposedly secure location. That's like Jack Bauer getting a pizza delivered to some prison camp in Slovenia.
Let me stand right here and do this. See, that's what I'm holding up right now. Which way do I hold this Bible? How you want me to hold it? This way, that way? I'm not sure. That was the best.
Eric Gordon is being helped off the floor, man. This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage games.
Let's get this halftime. Let's get the halftime. Jeez.
Still 108 to go until halftime.
Holy moly. Smells like pizza.
How long did you say it took for them to let you in to the building tonight?
Forever.
And yet, somehow, Spicoli, a pizza has found its way to... I mean, what happened to our time...
Our time called halftime. Excuse me, my friend. It's going to be halftime.
Covington gets the free throw.
Don't we go
71.
To the back to get things, snacks to eat and stuff at halftime? I'm trying to teach like a regular season game.
Harden.
Double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
Pizza time.
5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 6:04 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. John Wallach, Joe Murray in studio, and I couldn't stop thinking about that clip yesterday. I actually had people texting me about that and saying, like that happened actually during an injury. Like, are you? Yes. Like it all started. And then, you know, Gordon's on the ground and he's like, "Whoa, hey, pizza time!" And you just hear him go, "Ooh, yum, delicious!" And meanwhile, they're like helping him off the floor.
I don't know. It didn't register with me nearly as much, and I think that's because I've seen this before. I've seen it multiple times before. I mean, we were in Atlanta, and Atlanta, the broadcast location is at the top of the lower bowl. Yeah. If you understand what I'm saying. And right behind us, and we have security. It's not just us. It's all the radio people are up there, too. And behind us, there is a security guard on either side of us in our little row. And then behind us is the concourse. Mm-hmm. And Max, one game in Atlanta a couple of years ago, Max left with about, I'd say, 90 seconds left in the first half. He took off. And you know, it happens. I've seen Max do that. You know,
sure.
He'll just leave, you know, to go to at the garden to go to the media room and get some food, and he'll be, you know, 30 seconds late for the broadcast. Whatever the case may be, I'm doing the intro. He's still not sitting there. So Max came back with dessert. He just decided, you know, with 90 seconds left of the first half, he was hungry and came back with dessert and what, sat what down. I think it was some kind of cake, you know, carrot cake or whatever.
Choice
it was.
Number one. That's,
who remembers?
That's 1A on the Cedric Maxwell snack list.
Yeah, no, in Philadelphia, I think I told this story on the air. In Philadelphia, he was taunting. The fans are right on top of you in Philadelphia. You're back in the crowd. And he was taunting the fans, you know, just like right. Going back and forth with fans during the middle of the game.
God,
I'm like,
so
Max, you understand we're in Philadelphia. These fans aren't like Atlanta. They show up. They care. He's like, what are they going to do to me? I'm 6'9", you know, 250. I said, yeah, I'm 5'11", 175. Can you stop it, please?
You know why you know, he's so great?
He's fantastic.
He's got this, it's this FU cred, which means he can basically do what he wants. And no one's going to care.
He's told Larry Bird to like this guy has said whatever he wants to
Maxwell
Larry Bird
is a finals MVP who has his number retired in the building he was sitting in two nights ago. I mean, there's no, you can't say anything.
I think that the one thing about Cedric Maxwell is I don't even think it's because, like, he's just this, like, you know, Charles Barkley is one of those guys that, you know, he can say anything he wants. He's not going to get fired because he's just so valuable to the thing. I think it's more with Max that he's got something similar to a guy I used to work with, which, John, you knew, Crash Clark.
Yes.
Crash Clark had this thing where he could do something so wrong, so against what he's supposed to be, so wildly, but the dude's just so damn likable that nobody gets mad at him.
It's amazing.
Cedric Maxwell's just like the nicest guy. He's just funny as hell. He's a great guy. Oh. And so if he walks off in the middle of a broadcast, John, you were with us right when NBC Sports Boston, it was at the beginning of one of the seasons, and they brought us to Brooklyn to watch the Celtics take on.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say. They gave us a suite at Barclays Center, and we're all hanging out. We're drinking. We're having fun. And it was a great time. NBC Sports Boston treated us exceptionally well. But it's the Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets at Barclays Center. We're having fun, and it's halftime. And
it's not halftime.
Oh, you're going to talk about
it's during the game. So it's during the game, all right? And once again, this is a regular season game. During the game, we're watching, and I look, and who comes walking in but Cedric Maxwell?
That's right.
During the game. And I'm like, hey, cool, Cedric Maxwell. And then I go, hang on. Aren't you supposed to be on the air right now? Like, the game is going on. Like, I mean, like, you know, he's doing the broadcast for 98.5 The Sports at the time. And he's just like, hey, just wants to come by and say hello. And, ooh, what do we have here? Cheese dip? And I'm like, you're supposed to be on the air.
I'll never forget the look on Mike Thomas's face that night. Our former boss. Wait a minute. You should be working right now, Max. Fantastic.
It's just like, get used to it. This is me, baby. You want the Max, you're going to get the whole deal.
Yes, I remember that like it was yesterday. It was fantastic.
It was great. And like, you know, and what's great about Cedric Maxwell, too, is that, you know, we go on the air, and of course, I mean, it's going to start back up as of tomorrow. You're going to hear.
Yes, tomorrow night. Right,
you're going to hear all those, you know, calls where he'll just throw out ridiculous non sequitur sandwiches, ketchup spilled all over. Stuff like that. And I just love that when, you know, we ask him about it, when he comes to the studio, it's just like, I'm just naming things. I don't care. He admits to just yelling stuff. I don't even know if there's times where he's even, like, really even paying attention or not just looking at the cake. But you know what? I listen for that stuff now. And that's why Max is, like, such a – that's why he's great. That's what makes him great.
The thing that I remember
to just do any of that, and you still go, dude, I love the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing that I remember about that night in Brooklyn is there are times where the broadcast location is close enough where you can get away with visiting another place right before. We were way up there, and the broadcast location was nowhere close to where we were. And
that's
there's Max
point.
With about 2 or 3 minutes left in the first half, just come strolling in the door. I'm like, how did you get to leave the broadcast and get to us? He would have had to have left with 5 minutes left in the first half.
Oh, there's no question.
And Grandy would have been, must have done the last end of the first half. And it's not like he left immediately. He was there until about 90 seconds left before the second half started. I'm like, how the hell are you going to get back to where you need to go? He's like, I have the fast pass, baby. I can go anywhere.
I mean, he needs to have, like Sean Grady needs to just have a touch screen that's got random Cedric Maxwell phrases just so people still think that he's sitting there. And it's like, and the foul.
You guys manning the popcorn popper.
Yep, that's exactly right, Max. And just, you know, he can just press these things randomly, and it's like, oh, so Max, on that play right there, do you think that was a dirty foul?
Clean up, bow to catch a ball exploded.
Because it doesn't matter, because that's probably what he would have said if he was indeed sitting there.
I miss him. I miss him a lot.
He likes you, and
I know,
said that.
I heard.
He is a John Wallach fan. He is a big fan. We've talked about that before.
Yes.
I joke. He obviously likes Sean Grandy, but I also think by him overstating how much he likes you, he knows that probably drives Sean just a tiny bit crazy, just a little bit. makes the blood boil.
Sure.
So I kept thinking about that last night, and it got me even more excited for the season because that means you come in the next morning and there's just some fantastic.
And Rich, I know you're bringing up play-by-play teams. Eck and Remy were in form last night, but not to mention, if you watch that Red Sox game, I had a chance to check out what happened on the Mets broadcast last night. And Ron Darling and Hernandez, they were ripping the Red Sox last night.
Of course they were.
It was like
killing workmen. Like they, I guess they just all in on him.
Eck and Remy were watching that ninth inning. Eck and Remy almost imploded, the two of them.
The two both
watching.
I thought
what
they were
Workman
both going to just
doing.
Share a cigarette together.
Honestly, yeah, and Remy was like, "Oh no, don't talk about that." It was great.
I'm not joking. So I actually, you know, I was rooting for them. We'll get to the game in a second, but I was rooting for them to win at one point. I'm like, all right, you know, it would be kind of nice. But when Eck and Remy started, as you said, kind of like getting pissed, then I started going the other way. I'm like, oh man, I hope they blow this because I want to hear them lose their minds, because that's a great thing. I mean, that's why Eckersley's, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why Dennis Eckersley's great, and he's necessary. In my opinion, he's necessary for that broadcast team to work. I think when it's just Remy and Dave O'Brien, it's boring. There's nothing there. There's no chemistry. But Remy, who I think is, you know, kind of mediocre, is great when he's with Dennis Eckersley, and Eckersley brings the best out of him. And so when they kind of started like rubbing their hands like, we're about to go all in, baby, I'm like, oh please implode, because I wanted to hear it. But either way, it was a good win, and we'll actually get to that right after this. By the way, also on the show, the return of Danny Ainge. Awesome. It's been a while. It's good to have him back. He's going to be on weekly with us throughout the entire postseason. He will be on at 9 o'clock. Ken Danico, who we've had on before, notorious NHL tough guy, Mr. Devils, I believe holds the longest drought in NHL history for scoring. It's like 256 regular season games, but he's fantastic, and he'll preview the upcoming NHL postseason that we have ahead of us. And of course, the Bankroll Boys, who may not be in a good mood this morning because of some legislation that did not get passed last night. We will talk to them about that as well. But first, we will get to everything that happened last night right after this.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit, or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Day 5, the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And hey, look at that. Something was actually competitive on Nesson last night.
And a shot, base hit into right field. One run in. Here comes the second run. Two run score. Martinez touching home plate. Vasquez comes through again, and the Red Sox lead it 6-3.
Yeah, the Red Sox finally win their second game of the year, and believe it or not, it was a fairly entertaining game. 6-5, the final score. Sox over Mets. Let's be honest, the quality of baseball over the last week has ranged from not good to downright embarrassing, and that's all around the league. I guess except for the Joe Kelly incident, which we'll discuss in a minute. The highlight reel has been more about infected Marlins than actual good gameplay and highlight type of catches and things like that. That's why last night was a welcome surprise. Not great, but competent pitching from Nate Eovaldi. 5 innings, 8 hits, 2 earned runs. I thought we were in for another one when he gave up a run there in the first, but Nate Eovaldi has been exactly what Nate Eovaldi should be. A guy who on any other team would be competent enough to be like a middle or a back of the rotation starter, but unfortunately he is your ace. So it was good, however, to see this team fight back a little bit.
Oh. Drives that one deep to left field. That one's sailing back there, and it's gone into the seats. Christian Vasquez with his second home run of the season, and the Red Sox have tied it 3-3.
He got him hanging breaking ball. 2-2, and he lost it.
Now, listen, did they do some really dumb things? Absolutely. Brandon Workman gave us almost the typical Red Sox moment. And maybe we need to pull some of that Remy stuff because that was pretty great.
It wasn't just him either. I mean,
yeah, no.
The best thing about Eovaldi last night is that he got through enough innings that you didn't have to visit the Island of Misfit Toys and bring in one of those guys to relieve. I mean,
yeah.
Five innings, you're good. He got you to the sixth inning where you were able to bring in guys that you kind of recognize. Marcus Walden, sure enough, gave up a run. Matt Barnes, immediately on the first pitch of the eighth inning, gave up a homer. And all of a sudden, it's not comfortable anymore. And then Brandon Workman stumbled through the ninth and left the bases loaded to win the ball game. But it is a win. They're 2-4. And, you know, they're a tenth of the way through the season, so they're right on pace for that 20-40 season we all predict for them. But it's a win. It is. They won the game. They had more runs. The offense did just enough.
I could hear your blood boiling from Natick. Like, that last inning was so funny. I'm just sitting there. As I said, I was rooting for the team. I was like, all right, well, this is going to be nice. I mean, they get a nice little win. This will be good. And then when things just started imploding, I was like, oh.
Well, I feel the opposite. I watched... So, you know, I watch wrestling on Wednesday nights.
Of course you do.
But I actually wanted to watch them lose. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Twitter following people.
Yep.
They're doing it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I thought that was the excitement factor last night was, how are they going to blow this one tonight?
They almost did it. Guys we recognize went in and pitched, and they were as advertised. The bullpen gave up 3 runs in 4 innings. I mean, that's about right for this bullpen. Doesn't matter who's pitching, apparently. I mean, they had one guy you would look at and go, oh, my God, why is he in the game? And this guy, Osich, came in, a lefty, and immediately put 2 runners on base. And Renicki could not get out there fast enough after his minimum 3 hitters to get him out of there.
Oh, my God, Renicki, good job last night.
There you go.
Two things. Jackie Bradley Jr. misplayed a ball in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled him for a pinch hitter, and it worked. And then they stuck with Barnes and Workman. Like, he actually managed them pretty well. I know Barnes gave up that leadoff home run, but he stuck with him, and Workman didn't have that curveball going early on.
He stuck with him because at that part of the game, there's no one else to bring in. And Ryan Brazier has not shown himself, you know, a viable option in a high leverage inning. So
it didn't also, like, speaking of Osich, first of all, that means he's out, right? As far as the rotation, I mean, they
threw Osich? Yeah, No, it doesn't mean anything. Zach Godley's going to pitch Saturday, but Osich could start Sunday. They're going to have an opener on Sunday night. Sure.
But to Renicki's credit, and I know that Joe hates hearing those words, didn't he put Osich in right before that dude who jacked one off of him on Monday when he played? I think it was almost to get his confidence back. It's like, all right, I know you got crushed by this guy. I forget what his name is. I know you got crushed by this guy, but I'm going to let you go at it again. And he ended up taking care of business, which I thought was pretty good.
I don't even think it's that. I think I need a lefty. This guy doesn't have a number in the high 70s or low 80s. He's got number 35 on his back. That means theoretically he should be able to get people out. I'm going to bring him in. I don't even think Renicki isn't doing that. Renicki's just getting guys who he thinks might be able to get it out. Mm. And I guess Osich is the best of the horrible relievers that he has.
I give Ron credit last night. He did well. He's a nice guy. and he made some good moves. And pulling Jackie Bradley Jr.,
I thought it was just a pinch hit against a lefty.
Yeah, but still, like,
I don't think it was that. No, I understand that, but I think they were just pinch hitting against a lefty.
It worked.
Well, yeah, Kevin Pillar has been a very good hitter this first week, so that's what it was. And Pillar is as good a fielder as Bradley is.
Well, here is Joe's favorite manager talking about last night.
You know, anytime he takes the ball, all of us feel good. The coaching staff, the players. When you have confidence in a pitcher, it just makes you feel like no matter who you're playing, that you have a good chance to win that night. I'm sure that's how the Mets feel every time DeGrom goes out there. Is, you know, got one of the best pitchers in the game, and every time he goes out there, you know, all you have to do is, you know, score a few runs for him, and you're going to get a win.
I just know that every time we give the ball, we feel confident. In other words, it's like you have a room full of toddlers, and he's the only one who doesn't jam a fork in his eye when it's handed to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the only one who just doesn't barf up all over the place. And it's true. It's like, I mean, Eovaldi is exactly what he should be. Give me five good innings. Get in there. You know, if you can, a run or two, okay. You've done your work, and then get the hell out of here. And that's about it. And now everything else, you know, as you said, now Godley had a great outing. Are we confident that he's going to be a decent starter in this rotation?
No, he pitches against the Yankees on Saturday. I don't feel anyone feel confident about Martin Perez against the Mets tonight, or Ryan Weber against the Yankees on Saturday, or Zach Godley against the Yankees on Saturday? No. This is like one of those times where it's raining for a long period of time, and all of a sudden the sun comes out for about 15 minutes. You're like, oh, the rain's over. Rain's not over. It's about to pick back up again. Watch tonight.
But I do have to say, the Red Sox caught a few breaks last night. That Mitch Moreland, bases loaded, little chopper to the third base, worked out in their favor.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
Alonso was playing second base as a first baseman. The ball gets hit down the line.
DeGrom handed them a run. Moreland's on second, and DeGrom throws two wild pitches to score him. I'd love to know when the last time Jacob DeGrom threw two wild pitches in a game. Little League?
Yeah, probably. Well, all I'm saying is, as well as the Red Sox won. Congratulations.
Hey, you
the
won.
Mets screwed it up.
Yeah, you won. Good.
All right. Two things, real quick. It took baseball being gone for a while for me to once again affirm that the fact that baseball is too damn long. Last night, no extra innings, 3 hours and 44 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've said it over and over and over again. And last night was one of those things too, where you just looked down like, Jesus, is it really this late? And they started early last night. We had a 7:10, right? It wasn't your normal 7:30 that they moved it back to.
Ended at what? 10:45. 10:50?
Yeah, maybe even a little bit later. Yeah. It was almost like 11 o'clock, and it started like just after 7. And just because the take that this guy sucks is on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Greatest Hits album, which is a song sung many mornings by our own Jim Murray, I thought I would actually give you something that would make you smile this morning. You mentioned it, but let's hear it in all of its glory.
Let's stroke that one into center field. Bradley back. That's going to go on the running track up against the wall. Cano rounding third. Sliding into third base safely. Andrés Giménez, who's had a big night, his second major league hit. And that one will put the Mets in front.
Oh, Jackie Bradley Jr., how the jocks at this station hate you with all their passion, despite you being paid exactly what you're probably expected to be paid, having this type of stats that you have. Although that was pretty bad.
He broke the wrong way. You never, of all the things, you can't criticize Jackie Bradley Jr.'s fielding. He's one of the best fielding center fielders the Red Sox have had. In what, the last 30, 40 years?
Was he last night?
No, he wasn't. He was hard. That play, that Giménez shot, he misplayed. He went the wrong way.
Would have had it.
Maybe.
He would have. And Rich, I would like to correct you.
No, it's fine.
Jackie Bradley Jr. makes $10 million because of arbitration. He should be a $4 or $5 million player.
You really think so? When you look at how much these guys are making in the league? Oh, come on. Look around the league. Pillar was different.
I'm sorry. He's only getting that money because of arbitration. That's it. And they didn't have to give it to him. I think I should have traded his ass years ago anyway.
For what?
Well, remember who was the big right-handed hitter that played for Toronto all those years? There was a deal with Cleveland on
Bautista?
The table. Not Bautista. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Anyway, Jackie Bradley Jr., you can't fault him for his fielding. He's a gold glove outfielder. He is. But now you do. You have a much cheaper alternative in Kevin Pillar, who is every bit the fielder that Bradley is, and had 20-25 home runs, led the San Francisco Giants in home runs last year. I mean, the outfield defense on this team, I mean, this team is wrong about 15 different ways, for a lot of reasons. But The outfield defense with Benintendi, Bradley, and Pillar is excellent. Excellent. So, I mean, I guess there's that. And, yeah, you're right. Pillar probably would have had that.
Edwin Encarnacion is the guy.
They didn't do that deal.
I'm sure it would have worked out. I'm sure that that's exactly what was on
right.
the table there.
Encarnacion wouldn't have come here and struck out 180 times.
Hey, listen, he could hit the ball better than Jackie Bradley Jr.
Everyone hates Jackie Bradley Jr. It's hysterical to me. And I do love it.
His 400 career home runs mean nothing, John. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying don't do that deal. You're right. Edwin Encarnacion
is better than Jackie Bradley Jr.
Well, here's the problem. He's a DH, and we already had one of those for a decade.
That point.
I see. They didn't have David Ortiz. They wouldn't have to pay JD Martinez.
Though.
I see. And that's money that wasn't well spent at all.
John,
JD
there's
Martinez.
Nothing better than when Jackie Bradley Jr. screws up.
Oh.
I just look down at my Twitter timeline, and it's like a Gatlin gun.
Yeah.
He's the most. He does well in the outfield, but like, let's not overrate the guy. No one's overrating him.
Who's overrating him?
I don't know. I think Red Sox.
No one is overrating Jackie Bradley Jr. I think everyone listening and the people on this respected panel completely understand what Jackie Bradley Jr. is.
Sure.
And $10 million to this team is, in a normal year, okay, $10 million. He's going to hit .230. He's going to go weeks without getting a hit. And then there's that three-week period in the middle of a normal season, late June. It was like J.D. Drew. There's that three-week period of time in the middle of the season where you can't get him out. He'll go 16 for 31, and then he'll go 0 for 31.
Don't you besmirch the name of J.D. Drew. They won a championship because of him, and I'll stand by that.
He had one big hit that entire year.
There will always be a fascination with J.D. Drew, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Always.
617-779-0985. We'll get to this Joe Kelly stuff because it's pretty funny. And on top of that, Tom Brady, there might be some potential bad news for him, which if you're somebody like Joe who roots for him to fail, then of course that will make him very happy. We will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Sports Hub. Toucher.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Like, he dresses an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up? It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray here in studio, and man, that was quick. We got a decision on what kind of punishment, if any, that Joe Kelly was going to get for launching a couple balls at Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, and then making a face and launching 1,000 memes. And that suspension is 8 games. So he is going to be out. Also, you've got Dave Roberts, manager. He's going to be suspended 1 game as well. Kelly is going to appeal this. Of course, everyone just went nuts after this. Now, let me just say this before I let you guys go crazy. You can't throw at a guy's head. You can't. I mean, there's ways of doing this, and there's ways of exacting justice, and everyone knows the Astros deserve it. Hell, it's why a lot of us are watching the season, is because you want to see these guys get punished, and you want to see them take it into their own hands. You can't throw at a guy's head. Now, obviously, people will be saying, have you seen that video where he couldn't control his pitches and he smashed a window? To say he was aiming for their head and it was just a bad pitch? He was aiming for their head. Okay, you can't do that. But on the other side of things, it really is ridiculous that the first player to get a suspension regarding the whole Astros cheating their way to a championship is Joe Kelly. And yeah. None of the Astros have missed a game. But a guy who's just trying to give a little bit of retribution, something that was to be expected, ends up getting an 8-game suspension, which in this condensed season is equivalent to a 22-game suspension. This is not going to stand. He's going to get it reduced. I understand that. But, I mean, how much did Manfred just bungle this entire thing by not suspending any players whatsoever? Because you look like an absolute idiot when you say, okay, you can cheat your way to a ring, but if you're somebody who feels that you were wronged, you're on the other side of things or whatever, then you can't exact any kind of justice. Utterly ridiculous for that person to get suspended and none of those guys to.
Well, I mean, Manfred was never going to get the truth unless he gave the Houston Astros player immunity. He never would have gotten the full story unless he said, no, don't worry, we won't punish you. That's one thing. The Kelly suspension is a separate issue. And Major League Baseball, in this pandemic time, said there's no messing with each other. There's no throwing at players. There's none of that. We don't want close contact. We don't want any of this stuff. So if you do this kind of thing, we're going to punish you. The first guy who did it, and it just happened to be Joe Kelly, is going to be made an example of. And how do you make an example of someone? You punish him far beyond reasonable bounds, because that's supposed to scare everyone off and force them not to do it again. That's not going to happen, and you're right. Kelly's going to get his suspension reduced, but it's not going to be reduced to 3 games. It'll be reduced to 6, maybe 5. It's still going to be significant. For a reliever, it's very significant. And the other part of it is, just because Kelly got punished doesn't mean any of this is going to stop. It's just going to be more creative. And Eckersley and Remy talked about it on the broadcast last night. Instead of throwing a 3-0 pitch over a guy's head and making it blatantly obvious, Altuve will get one in the ribs on an 0-1 pitch or a 1-1 sure. pitch. I mean, now it's time for all the pitchers who come after Joe Kelly to be more creative, after Joe Kelly, and to throw at the Houston Astros players to be more creative. Mm. And that's certainly doable. And those conversations aren't going to stop. What Manfred did was force pitchers to go underground with this and be a lot less obvious.
Yeah. Well, Buster only said that the Dodgers are obviously pissed off about all that.
Within the Dodgers organization, there's absolute outrage and shock over this decision, because an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. Within the Dodgers organization, there's a feeling of, look, he didn't hit Bregman. He actually, in their eyes, didn't even come close to hitting him, and they felt like Dusty Baker was screaming at Kelly in that inning from the Houston dugout. They were absolutely surprised by the length of the suspension, especially because Kelly is a reliever.
Listen to the, what is the Unsolved Mysteries keyboard?
Yeah, that's exactly what that was, is they close in on the killer at 10:55, right before the news. That's the music when they have the guns drawn and go around the corner and catch the guy. Yeah,
just
right.
Every time I hear the music playing in the background, I just imagine who's ever speaking fronting the band of that's playing in the background. Like whenever they play like a mock Pantera band and Adam Schefter's the one speaking, for some reason I can't help it. It makes me laugh every single time. He's like the dude from Accept, little tiny guy out there fronting a metal band. But I mean, the whole thing's stupid, and it's going to get, or he's going to end up getting it down to just a couple of games.
Because, no,
I mean,
no.
You don't think so?
As I just said, he'll get some games knocked off of it, but Major League Baseball has to make a statement here, and maybe 8 was too much, but if you're Major League Baseball and, you know, the pitchers go directly against what you told them not to do, you have to make a statement somehow. And yeah, it won't be 8, because that is above and beyond, but Major League Baseball has to err on that side. He'll get it knocked down to 6 or 5. It won't be 2.
There was something that went viral yesterday, and I got sent it a bunch of times, and it was an Instagram post that said, it was from Joe Kelly, mm-hmm. and it was a picture of Joe Kelly holding 3 babies that have the heads of Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, and Alex Bregman photoshopped on, and the caption was, "Hey guys, with the suspension I received for Major League Baseball for my actions on Tuesday, I'd like to apologize," and then in capital letters, "to absolutely nobody. The Astros are hiding in their dugouts because I'm suspended. Just wait till I get out." Now, when I first saw that, I thought it was pretty funny. I'm like, dude, maybe he's got like walrus balls. That's pretty funny to put that out there. And unfortunately, it was proven to not be Joe Carey.
Rich, here's the deal, right? Okay, I get your guys' point. But like these unwritten rules in baseball, you don't throw at somebody's head, or like when Pedro did it, it was cool, right? He'll tell Jorge Posada, "I'll bean you in your head," or whatever like that. This was fun. This was good for baseball. Yet you don't have to give the guy 8 games. And if it's an equivalent of 22 games, dude, I started looking up how many guys have been like Frank Francisco threw chairs in the stands and got 15 games. Kenny Rogers did stuff that, like, John Rocker did the worst things in the world and got 28 games. So if you want to make this the equivalent of 22, that is stupid. They should have made it one start, 5 games, and move on. Forget about setting this precedent. And I don't even want to hear about anymore about the Astros didn't get 1 game. But, like, I get that whole argument. My whole thing is this. Is, like, this was funny. This was good for baseball. We're talking about it. Again, we are talking about baseball. Rich, you were looking forward to the Astros all year long and what was going to happen. It happened. He mouthed off. They hit a little pouty face. They clearly, Dusty Baker wasn't happy with it. We move on from it. Give him his 5 games and move on from it. That's it.
And that's what it'll get knocked down to. Did you see John Heyman's reaction on Twitter yesterday?
Oh, terrible. Oh, yeah.
What a sanctimonious piece of crap he is. Well,
he's just like, I mean, the pearl clutching yesterday was phenomenal.
Wait, keep going with that. I want to hear more about that.
Honest to God, he earned every bit of that 8-game suspension. Right. Besides, Kelly didn't even pitch for the Dodgers in 2017. Well, a 5-second check of the playoffs would have told you, genius. He pitched for the Red Sox in the first round of the playoffs against Houston. In that year and got beat. I mean, I can't believe that Heyman, who, by the way, whatever you feel about Heyman, and I think he's, as I said, a sanctimonious piece of crap. You know, he's been in the game a long time. He should know better than to do this kind of nonsense.
You know what, Joe? Okay, so there, I've talked about this before, and I hate the unwritten rules of baseball too. But the only ones that I will get behind are the ones that could actually put someone's career in jeopardy, like sliding into a guy the wrong way. I mean, things like that, and like throwing at someone's head. I mean, you gotta, dude, you can't throw at a guy's head. You shouldn't get 8 games. And you're right. It's been the one highlight of this shortened season so far. Like, it's the one thing that's gotten anybody talking or excited. It's been a really mediocre, like, the baseball hasn't been that good. And not that anyone expected it right out of the box to be, you know, phenomenal, but it's the only thing people are talking about. But, I mean, dude, you can't. Like, a bat flipping, I'm with you. Unwritten rules, like, stuff like that, and, like, the prancer, I hate the unwritten rules, they suck. But, dude, come on. You can't go trying to knock somebody
out. You can't throw 98 at a guy's head. You can't.
Yeah, you give him the 5 games, you move on from it.
And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen for the Dodgers. And it doesn't matter because Joe Kelly's a middle reliever who can't. He has no control, and his good year actually came with the Red Sox. Have you seen how bad he's been recently? I think the Dodgers would be psyched to get rid of him for a little bit.
I sent over last. Listen to Chris Russo. Not happy about. Like, these baseball purists, man. Not happy about Joe Kelly.
Here's Nomar Garcia Parr. Here's what he had to say.
Embarrassment, appalled, angry, all of the above. I mean, there's so many words to use, and appropriate for sure. I mean, Jerry, you hit it on the head. It is an embarrassment for Major League Baseball. Make no mistake, it was one pitch. Can't count Correa's at bat. That was a slider. It got away from him. Okay, that one pitch, if you want to look at Bregman, all right, and it gets away with him with the fastball. But that's it. There was just one pitch that we're really focused on. MLB, Major League Baseball, the commissioner, whoever's dropping this down, has to look into a mirror. This is their fault because they didn't do what was right to begin with. They didn't vacate the World Series. If they had done
that's wrong to begin with,
then players, teams, organizations...
Hold on. Where did Nomar end his career?
Oakland?
The Dodgers.
That's right. Yeah.
He played for the Dodgers. He grew up in California. There's an ulterior motive here. He's pissed because the Dodgers got cheated out of a World Series.
Here's why he's wrong.
First half of that statement was fine. Second half was he got lost.
They should have put the hammer down when the whole Apple Watch thing happened. And any kind of, like, that's where you get these guys in trouble. You suspend managers, players, things like that. But the fact that he just kind of took his foot off the gas, and now you're punishing guys who had nothing to do with the cheating but just want to get a little bit. And by the way, I heard a lot of people also saying that Joe Kelly didn't even play for the Dodgers. But it doesn't matter. If you're a pitcher, we had C.J. Wilson on here. I don't think he was playing at the time, and he's pissed. Just pitchers in general. No. If you find out that your numbers or if you put yourself in the position of these guys who are getting shelled, doing everything they can every day to do it the right way, and then you've got these guys who have an obviously advantage with the banging in the cans, it pisses every pitcher off when that happens. And you know what? Every pitcher has a right to nail you in the ribs. But Nomar Garcia Parr, of course, thinks they need to take the trophy away, which is just absolutely phenomenal. All right, we have to break real quick. We'll be right back. I'll get to that news that it might not be the best news for Tom Brady. Might be a little scared this morning. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. By the way, one of our listeners reminded me about our C.J. Wilson interview, which was great because he was talking about what he thought pitchers were going to do this season to exact revenge, and how do you do it, and how do you do it covertly. And one of our listeners reminded me, said, have to do what C.J. Wilson said and just beam him in the kneecap, which, I mean, yeah, seems like, I mean, yeah, you
not
can't
throw at the guy's head to make, yeah, it obvious. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't throw at their head. I mean, the kneecap, obviously, is something that could jack you up pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're right. It's going to have to just go, you know, a little more covert that they're figuring all this out. By the way, Tampa Bay Buccaneers Cameron Brate put on his Instagram yesterday that he is recovering from COVID-19. He was one of the guys who worked out with Tom Brady recently, you know, against all the protocols and all of that. But he is now recovering. And that's interesting because there are like videos and pictures of them out there together. So you wonder if Tom Brady is taking a look at things. I guess that the teams, all these teams are getting tested now, and we haven't heard back on a lot of these, but be a little careful. Speaking of that, so this was weird. Yesterday, Major League Baseball, because as they should, they freaked out over what's going on with the Marlins. That's 48% of the people who are traveling with the team ended up testing positive for COVID-19. So after this outbreak, Rob Manfred, of course, who's just covering himself in glory this season, he freaked out, and they said, well, what are we going to do to keep this from happening? Well, they're now encouraging players not to leave hotels in road cities except for games, which, by the way,
really?
I thought was part of it.
What a novel idea. Don't go out to dinner at a normal place.
I mean, they also are mandating the use of surgical masks instead of cloth masks during travel, and requiring every team to travel with a compliance officer who ensures players and staff properly follow the league's protocol.
The hall monitor in elementary school is what this is.
I guess so. I mean, 16 players, yeah, two staff members with the Marlins. Their games through Sunday have been postponed. Okay. There's something that every reporter seems to be tiptoeing around. Okay. There's an article that Jeff Passan had this morning talking about these new protocols that they're putting in there, and he puts in there this. He says the investigation is looking to a wide range of factors, and this is on how they got infected, the Marlins, from the team's in-stadium behavior, mask wearing, social distancing, and other protocol-suggested factors, to the off-field activities of players and staff, according to sources. The league will especially probe the veracity of players going out at night in Atlanta during the Marlins' time in the city for preseason games against the Braves. Now, I've seen a bunch of other reporters going, you know, I've heard that the boys might have been possibly been enjoying the nightlife, or there might have been some excursions amongst team members out there. Dude, they're talking about them going to strip clubs. They're talking about this team, and I've seen like people who say that they were witnesses put stuff out on Twitter. They're not verified. I don't know who these people are, but there's a lot of them now. And we know what happened with Lou Williams when he went home. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking about, this was years ago, we were talking to Mike Gorman, and we were saying, you know, Mike, what is the best home court advantage in the league? And this was in a year that the team wasn't any good. Like, this wasn't even like 4 years ago when they, you know, went on a winning. And he said the Atlanta Hawks.
And I said, why? Because every time I watch a Hawks game, when the Celtics play now there, it sounds like a Celtics home game. And he goes, well, it's because the teams like to get in early and they're out all night. He said the clubs here are just irresistible. Like, it's out of all the towns that we've ever visited, the one that you find players, and he wasn't just talking specifically about the Celtics, he was talking about all the teams that visit. He said the ones that you find the players in their hotel room the least is when they go to Atlanta. And it just seems each one of these writers is just kind of tiptoeing around the fact that it sounds to me as if a load of these guys on the Marlins all went together to this strip club and ended up, now whether it was Magic City or not, but then ended up getting infected and then, of course, essentially putting Major League Baseball in a panic. And I'm wondering, you know, if this is what's happening with, you know, Major League Baseball players, a lot of money on the line and stuff like that. How are you going to control this when, like, the college football season comes around?
They're not.
I mean, these guys going to parties and things like that.
Can we talk a little bit about this? I know we're up against a break, and Dan O'Brien's going to kill me if I go 1 second longer than I need to. So I just want to say one quick thing. Major League Baseball lucked out because all the other tests on all the other teams came back negative. Right now it's just a Marlins thing, but it's not the end of it. I mean, these are 20-year-old, 25-year-old, 26-year-old ball players that are making millions and millions of dollars, and short of a mandate and or locking them in their hotel rooms, this is going to happen again. And the key is, can Major League Baseball continue? We saw in Major League Soccer, you had two teams that had such a widespread outbreak that they had to take them out of there. But you know what? Major League Soccer was able to complete whatever tournament, the MLS is back tournament. Major League Baseball is going to have teams that miss 5 games or 6 games or 3 games or 2 games. And it's going to be based on winning percentage at the end. But if everyone keeps their head on straight, you'll be able to continue and finish.
All right. Let's get to the bankroll, boys, because big news last night in the state of Massachusetts regarding gambling. We will get Dan Lifschitz, Joe Murray's reaction, as well as places to make some cash and maybe another degenerate special that might make you money like it has been me for the past several weeks. We will do that. No commercials, just Joe Murray with the headlines.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with 2 full bars, serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.